Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am so excited because on the phone with us right now, we have, I guess I can call him new, the new Hastings Public Schools Superintendent, Dr. Bob McDowell, and he was hired in April, and he has started at the school, the district office not too long ago, so it will be great to get caught up with him and learn more about him, and I want to welcome you to KDWA, and I want to first say thank you because you were so gracious in offering your time for our listeners, so thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled that you have started. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You came from the Stillwater system, and I don't know anything about you personally, if you want to share any of that with our listeners.
Sure. That's correct. I spent the last 5 years in the Stillwater area schools as their assistant superintendent there, and prior to that, I was in White Bear Lake, and prior to that, in Apple Valley, in 196. So in a few districts around the metro area over the last 25 years. And so I spent my time in Stillwater working on a lot of things with regard to innovation and change and alignment and systems. So that was a lot of fun work. I think that got me ready, put me in a position to do the job that I think I can do here in Hastings. And then a little more personal, my wife and I have 3 children, 1 in college and 2 still in school. One will be a junior this year and one will be a 9th grader. And so those and our 2 dogs round out our family.
Oh, we're all about dogs here. What kind of dogs do you have?
We have our Springer Spaniel, Toby, and then we have our little terrier, that's Oscar. Yeah, so one that likes to play in the water quite a bit, and the other one that just more so likes to sit around and be held.
I think I know which is which.
Right.
Are you going to make the Hastings Public School Systems puppy friendly anytime soon?
You know, I think I just saw some policies coming through on service dogs. So that was one of the things I think that was in the works, is at least for service dogs, getting that set up and organized officially so that...
Well, I'm all for that. I'm just talking about just having pets anywhere. I just love that.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that we'd be able to do that. But, you know, it's something that we always can find ways to figure things out and new ways of doing things. But
we love that. So you were selected back in April, and I understand that that whole process was different than when you thought you were going to be interviewed, because that was the weird, dicey time frame where everything shut down.
It was. I believe, if I understood it correctly, that the interview process for Hastings was the second process that was done totally remotely through Zoom.
And what was that like?
It was interesting. It was very interesting to have everything recorded and then be able to go back and see not only what I had provided as answers, but also watch the school board's deliberation of those answers as well. So that was a very interesting process. I think the other thing that I found always floating in the back of my head was how public the process was, because people could log in and watch it from wherever they were.
And you know what? That's what we did too, just so you know. That was a very, it's a big position in the city of Hastings. And so it was something that a lot of people were very interested in, and of course us at the radio station as well. And I guess I never thought about the fact that you could go back and watch that too. Brave.
Well, I appreciate that. I think it works, you know, from the perspective of a community. I think that's one positive. You know, as we go into and have shifted into so much distance things, whether it's learning or Zooming or whatever it is, there are positives that come out of it. And I think in this situation, this exemplifies one of the positives, where it was an opportunity for the community to be more involved from a way that they hadn't been able to be involved prior.
Well, and I must say that my boss at the radio station here, Dan Massman, who I know you'll meet somewhere down the line, he was involved very early on, because there was a call out to business people, what are you looking for? You know, so there was that piece, and I didn't know there was, you know, the tie-in with the city, and of course, parents and then the school district itself was polled in what they are looking for. So the whole process, I thought, was really well done.
Yeah, it was really one of the things that I found intriguing about coming to Hastings was that part of it, which kind of mimics where I came from in Stillwater, in terms of there's such a close connection between the community and the school district. And that has become very evident. It was evident at the beginning, and now that I've been in here for a couple days now, it continues to be that way. And there's just such a connection between the schools and everyone in the community.
What did you know about the Hastings public school system before you interviewed?
I knew that the school system, from a geographic standpoint, was a lot like Stillwater, and that it's spread out, and so it covers a multitude of communities. I knew it was a river town, but I've always known that. I grew up in Winona, so my relatives lived in South St. Paul, and so Hastings was the straight shot through from Winona up to South St. Paul to visit them. I knew that the district was about half the size of Stillwater, and I knew that the district, the community of the district, like I said before, really is an involved community with what goes on in the school system. And the way that I knew that was how much attention is paid to not just the academics that go on here, but also things like the show choir and the sports programs and the marching band program and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that must have been exciting for you then. You knew a little bit about the background of the school. How did you know that Hastings was a place you wanted to interview at?
When you look at wanting to make a move in to be a superintendent, I think it's important that you find a community that really has kind of that value set that matches with what you feel your value set is. And I think that that's what I found in Hastings was, again, this focus on the community, the focus on all the students, the focus on really trying to figure out how do we equitably educate all kids, because that's something that's important to me, is making sure that we reach out and build quality relationships with all the kids in our district, regardless of their background or where they're coming from. And as I did my research on the district, initially, those things all kind of fall into place. And I think it's like anything else. You get to a point where if enough pieces fall into place with what you believe is what you're about, then it becomes a good fit.
And what were some of the things that you thought were about and that aligned with what you're about?
Sure. I think the small town feel of Hastings, you know, growing up in Winona, I had that, and, you know, the Stillwater piece before that, the White Bear piece, I've always liked that small community feel with the school districts that I've been in. The focus on, like I said, not just the academics, but also the arts and the athletics to round out that whole child experience that kids would have as they move through our system. And then finally, even though it was over Zoom, just meeting the people. And I think it's like anywhere else, when you get into a position where you start having a conversation with folks and you don't have to try really hard to have a solid conversation, you kind of have put that final piece together that, yeah, this is a place I could see myself.
Tell us about your background in education.
Sure. I started teaching industrial arts. I did my undergraduate work at University of Wisconsin-Stout and started teaching in Wisconsin. And I've taught everything from 5th grade up to 12th grade. I came back to Minnesota and I taught over in Edina for a while at middle school. And then I taught down at Blackhawk Middle School and then moved into administration in Apple Valley. And then became a principal in White Bear Lake, and then moved on to Stillwater from there. And then along the way, I've taught adjunct for St. Mary's University, and now I teach once in a while for Bethel University for their teacher program, and then I also advise doctoral students for them.
Tell us about the strengths of our school district, please.
Well, what I've seen so far is you have a miraculous staff. And the wonderful thing that in the first couple days on the job here that we've been able to do is put in quality time meeting together with the various administrators and the various people at the district office. And it's just really evident how much passion and energy that the staff for Hastings has to get things right for kids and take the time to do things the right way. That's been most evidenced in watching how Hastings has provided childcare and the food that has gone out to families who need it, even through the rest of the summer. And so that's really what I've seen so far as the huge strength is in the staff being able to put together not just learning experiences, but the pieces that take care of the whole child and the whole family.
That's been something I think the school system can be really proud of. Do you think some of the challenges are specific to Hastings? And then do you think some of these challenges are across the board in all schools these days?
Sure. In public education, the challenges as we've seen most recently, center around race and diversity, and we have to stand up and really hit those head on. We also have challenges with the current situation with regard just to how do we deliver an education in this new time where we're not necessarily able to see students all day, every day of the week, and what does that look like in an ongoing process? I think some other challenges that become down the road or domino effects of that are an increased stress on our teachers and who wants to stay in the profession and how do we make the profession continue to be a rewarding thing for teachers so that we keep teachers and we find new and exciting teachers to come into our systems as our more veteran teachers leave. And so I think those are really some of the big challenges that hit us currently. I think something that's not unique to Hastings and we're seeing globally is the challenge of mental health and how do we support both the students and the staff, and then tangentially, how do we support our families with regard to where their kids are at with mental health or crises that come up, and really put systems that wrap around the kids in our system.
So let's get back to the COVID time period and the challenges moving forward. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but I know you're working behind the scenes to put something together for what school will look like come the 31st of August of this year.
Yeah, we're working real hard right now. We are putting in plans. Most people, I believe, have seen that the commissioner and governor have come out with some guidance on three different scenarios that they want all school districts planning for. And that really, if you think of it as a dial, it ranges from meeting in person to what we've known to shifting into a hybrid model, which is seeing kids in person and at the same time delivering instruction via Zoom or from a distance standpoint, and then planning for a third scenario, which is much like we saw in the spring, which would be a full distance learning model. And so right now, we are engaging our teachers and our administrators and our district leadership to come together. Actually, this week, we're doing some heavy-duty planning days on what will those scenarios look like for Hastings Public Schools. And so as you can imagine, we need to cover everything from child care to transportation to food to standards that kids are going to need to cover to athletics and activities and everything in between so that we have some solid plans that we can roll out depending upon what the final guidance is from the governor and the commissioner later this month.
And so that final guidance obviously will dictate what plans are in place for the state, but then each individual school, do they tweak it a little or how does that work?
Yes. So the way that it's been given to us so far is that each school district will take the guidance and then create plans that fit inside of that sandbox. Because each district is different and because of size and number of students and all the things that go into a specific school district, everybody has a little different context. And so we're going to have to come up with individualized plans based on what they have for resources. And so what we will do then is take that guidance and we will put into place probably most likely some type of a hybrid model to begin with, unless something significantly changes for the beginning of the fall. And then the governor and the commissioner have been very clear that we need to also be ready to be very adaptable as time moves on and as the school year moves on, so that we can change depending upon what's needed to happen in our local context.
And then you mentioned sports and activities. Is that something that the governor's group dictates also, or is that the Minnesota State High School League, or is that the CDC?
The answer is yes. One thing that we are constantly reminded of is that this is really a health pandemic, right? So everything is really dictated by what direction we first get as far as the health side of this goes. And then from there, we're able to make plans and take guidance from the Minnesota State High School League, just as they've done moving into the spring and summer. As they've relaxed some of the social distancing pieces, then teams have been able to figure out plans to do workouts and things of that. And so those types of things will continue on, and they'll either expand or contract depending upon what the final guidance is.
Did you know that this is what you signed up for?
I think it's always different, right? It's always a challenge, and the thing I think we always have to remember is with every challenge comes opportunity, and that's really what I've focused on with the staff here is continually to ask the question, what's our opportunity going to be? We've got a new normal. What can we put in place? What can we do differently? How can we make our system better because of what we're forced to do because of the things we can't control right now?
It's actually probably a great time for you to come on board.
It definitely is going to be a challenge, but I think it's going to be a really good thing for Hastings, because it's never a bad thing to look at how we might do stuff different.
I love it. Well, let's end on that. We want to thank you for your time today. Dr. Robert McDowell, he is the Hastings Public Schools Superintendent, and I know that you are working hard behind the scenes, so I hope that you keep us in the loop of what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. And you're listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.